Our scripture reading this morning is Psalm 136. And each of this psalm's verses end with the refrain of God's love and faithfulness. Now I'll read the first part of each verse and you can respond with the refrain. Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone does great wonders.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To whom by understanding made the heavens.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who spread out the earth above the waters.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who made the great lights.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
The sun to rule over the day.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
The moon and stars to rule over the night.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And brought Israel out from among them.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
With a strong hand and an outstretched arm.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who divided the Red Sea in two.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And made Israel pass through the midst of it.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who led his people through the wilderness.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who struck down great kings.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And killed mighty kings.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Sihon, king of the Amorites.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And Og, king of Bashan.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And gave their land as a heritage.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
A heritage to Israel, his servant.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
It is he who remembered us in our low estate.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And rescued us from our foes.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
He who gives food to all flesh.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of heaven.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
So far the reading. When I was preparing for this morning's service, I was drawn to this psalm. I preached on it about 4 or 5 years ago now. But thinking about everything that's happened in our lives and the life of this church over the past year or so, it's not a bad thing to look at this again. For it's a psalm of thanksgiving. As we meet later after the service to briefly discuss our budget, let's also not forget to give thanks to our Lord for how he has blessed us. No, there's a saying that you can't know where you're going if you don't know where you're coming from. Perhaps that's why tracing one's family history is such a popular hobby. But it's not just for family history that knowing where you come from is important. Think about it in this way. If you go to something like Google Maps or Whereis.com and you ask for directions to somewhere, you're not going to get a sensible answer if you also don't tell the program where you're coming from. And in a sense, that's what the psalmist is doing in this psalm as well. He reminds the people of God in ancient times where they've come from. He reminds them of who's brought them to where they are. And this psalm teaches us today as well. It teaches us the importance of remembering where we come from, what has happened in our lives, and who the author of our lives is. And just like for the ancient people of God, we are taught to give thanks to God for his enduring love. The psalm is known as the Great Hallel, the Great Psalm of Praise. From what we can piece together, it's a song that was used mainly at the Passover. And as we did this morning, the first part of each verse was most likely then read by a priest or a Levite, with the gathered worshippers then responding with the refrain, for his steadfast love endures forever. Each verse speaks about God's character or about his works, and each verse ends with a refrain of his enduring love. And we have to understand that giving thanks to God is implied in every verse, even though every verse doesn't begin with "give thanks to God for he whatever." It's implied in every verse. So in a very special way, this psalm reminds God's people of his incredible goodness, and it encourages all of God's people to praise him for his steadfast love. Verses 1 to 3 set the scene for the rest of the psalm by instructing God's people to give thanks to God for who he is. Verses 4 to 9 give more detail about who God is. He's the God who creates. And then verses 10 to 26 speak of thanksgiving to God, the God who saves, but he also reminds us that God is the God of heaven. So verses 1 to 3 give thanks to God for who he is, give thanks to God for his creation in verses 4 to 9, and give thanks to God for his salvation in verses 10 through to 26. So let's look first at the call to give thanks to God for who he is, verses 1 to 3, and also verse 26. Verses 1 to 3 and 26 give us four descriptions of who God is. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. And then in verse 26, give thanks to the God of heaven. These titles of the Lord tell us all about who he is. We are to give thanks to the Lord, the personal God of Israel. We give thanks to the God of gods. There's no other God before him. He is the Lord of lords. There's no one who has authority over him. He's the God of heaven, the one who is in ultimate charge. Perhaps in composing this, the psalmist thought of how the book of Deuteronomy describes the Lord, where it says, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God." And this great, mighty, awesome Lord is good. He's good. He's very good. As the venerable preacher Spurgeon wrote, "God is good beyond all others. Indeed, he alone is good in the highest sense. He is the source of good, the good of all good, the sustainer of good, the perfecter of good, the rewarder of good. For this, he deserves the constant gratitude of his people." And the Lord's goodness is born from his enduring and steadfast love. The love that endures forever. Now, we don't really have an English equivalent for the Hebrew word that the ESV translates here as steadfast love, or the NIV just as love. It's a word that's really loaded or packed with a rich theology. It's more than just love or kindness. It's more than just being faithful, or more than just having a steadfast love. It's a word that expresses the Lord's deep covenantal love for his people, as well as his faithfulness to the promises that he made to his people. So what this psalm tells us is that the Lord's love lasts forever, because he's a God who faithfully keeps his word. He is a faithful God, faithful not just in many ways, but in every way. And he is worthy. He's worthy of our praise, of our thanksgiving. Friends, we may change, but the Lord doesn't. The world may change around us, but the Lord remains constant. Our promises may just be empty words, but the Lord's promises are always fulfilled. We may withdraw from commitments that we make to each other, but the Lord commits himself to his people, and he doesn't waver in that commitment. Our love may grow faint, but his amazing love endures forever. We may be weak, but the God of gods and the Lord of lords is strong. And his love, his faithfulness to his people remains constant forever. The book of Lamentations puts it this way: the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord, our God, is God of all gods and Lord of all lords. He is the great, the mighty, the awesome God of heaven. And he is good. How else can we respond but to praise and to give thanks to him whose covenant love lasts forever? Verses 4 to 9 go on to give us more reasons for giving thanks. They proclaim that God's goodness and steadfast love is shown to us in his marvelous creation. Now, creation doesn't only display the awesomeness of God's power, but also gives a testimony of his sovereign plan for this world. He alone created the universe from nothing. He alone does wondrous things. He alone is worthy of praise. Now, the psalmist is echoing the prophet Isaiah, who said that God is the one who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to his people and life to those who walk on it. Friends, God's love covers the whole scope of human history, from creation to today, and from today to the last day. From the beginning of creation, the story of God's people is saturated with his love. Whether you think about God's creation of the heavens and the earth, or whether you think about the knitting together of a baby in a mother's womb, it has to do with the Creator God's love. Whether you look up to the heavens at night and see the billions of stars and planets that he sprinkled across the sky, or whether you peer through a microscope and see the intricacies of DNA, that's the hand of the Creator God at work. It's from his throne that he brings everything into being. Creation, not just the initial creation, but every part of creation that we see around us today and in us today. All of that creation paints a vivid picture for us of God's love for his people. And how else should we respond to this awesome love? By thankfully and joyfully praising our magnificent Creator God. You know, you might have heard the story of how Satan took one of his disciples to the warehouse where he kept all the various types of seeds that could be sown in the human heart. The biggest heap of seeds was the seed of discouragement. Satan told his disciple that these seeds could grow almost anywhere. But then he also confessed that he could never get those seeds to thrive in the heart of a person who was thankful to God. Friends, one of the most powerful witnesses that we have as Christians, as people of God, is to live a life of thankfulness. Thankfulness. Joyfully and thankfully praising our God for what he has done. You won't get discouraged if we live a thankful life. Discouragement is so hard to grow in the heart of a thankful person, a person who is thankful to God. Verses 4 to 9 remind us of God's work of creation, but the last part of the psalm focuses on God's work of salvation and redemption in the lives of his people. These verses drive home the message of God's faithfulness to his promises. Verses 10 to 15 recount how God's people were in bondage in Egypt and how he saved and delivered them from that bondage. Using the words of Exodus 12, the psalmist reminds Israel of the final plague and how they were set free from their slavery only by the mighty power of the God who saves. That was what set them apart, defined them as God's people. It was a wonder that was solely of God's doing, and a powerful demonstration of his covenant love that transformed them as a people. And if that wasn't enough, verses 16 to 22 go on to remind God's people of how he had been with them throughout their wilderness years, how he guided them, how he protected them from their enemies, how he settled them in the land that he had promised them. God's everlasting love was revealed to them in his acts of salvation and also in his gracious gift of their promised home. But more than that, God isn't just a God who has saved. He isn't just a God who has redeemed. He's also a God who provides. In a sense, verses 23 and 24 provide a summary of what has gone before. When God's people were in distress, he redeemed them. When they were in danger, he rescued them from their enemies. And all of this because of his amazing and enduring love. But friends, there's even more in that very short little verse 25. Did you notice that verse 25 says that God gives food not just to his people, but to all flesh? God's divine care extends outside of his chosen people. Well, perhaps that reminds us of what Jesus said, that his Father lets the sun rise over the just and the unjust, sends rain on both the just and the unjust. And this is crucial for our understanding of our great God. His mercy is unimaginable. He's truly good. No wonder that the psalm ends with a call to give thanks to the God of heaven, the one who's in charge of everything, the one who's merciful beyond our imagination. Give thanks to the God of heaven. What does this psalm then mean to us today? Psalm 136 was set in a particular time in the history of God's people, most likely composed after the time of the exile. Its purpose is to remind people, us today as well, of his acts of creation, of salvation, of redemption, and of provision. Brothers and sisters, the good news is that the God who is at work in creation is still at work today. He who scattered the stars across the heavenly sky still creates new life today. He who provided for his people thousands of years ago still provides for us today. He who saved his people from the bondage of slavery in Egypt also set them free from the bondage of sin through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the redeeming Savior. He who made the dead alive still does that today. The people to whom the psalm was originally written only saw a small portion of God's creative work. They only saw a small part of his work of salvation and provision and redemption. All of that pointed to something far greater, far grander that was to come. It was still on the distant horizon. Beloved, that highly anticipated redemptive event has taken place. It has come. All history pointed towards it and worked towards it, but it has come because Jesus, Savior, Redeemer, and Friend, has come. You and I have been given a glorious opportunity of looking back and seeing the fulfillment of God's promises in the incarnation, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. We can rejoice with the psalmist that the Lord is good, and that his steadfast love endures forever. For we too have proof of God's actions. In verses 4 to 9, we read about how God alone does wondrous things. And what a wondrous thing he has done to send us his Son. Scripture tells us that Jesus was the one through whom and for whom everything was created. Yet in his amazing love, God was willing to send Jesus to redeem you and me. If we were to compose this psalm today, we might begin with, "Give thanks to him who so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Give thanks to him who made Christ the great Davidic king. Give thanks to him who triumphed over all powers and principalities. Verses 10 to 15 told us that the people of Israel were set free from their bondage to slavery in Egypt through God's mighty acts. The Exodus was a defining point in their, or a decisive point in their redemptive history. But friends, looking back from our perspective, our vantage point, we can see that there was an even greater and even more crucial event. It was the crucial event in all of redemption history, the death of Jesus on the cross. The Exodus out of Egypt was merely a dim picture of the redemption that we have in Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God who shed his blood to set sinners free. God's mighty arm was revealed in the Exodus, but his powerful love for his people was revealed even more so on the cross. So we can go on to sing, "Give thanks to him who was sacrificed as the Lamb of God. Give thanks to him who bore the guilt of our sin on the cross. Give thanks to him who freed us from the bondage of sin." The people of Israel were guided and provided for throughout their years in the wilderness. They were brought into the promised land, and their faithful God provided for them in that inherited land. But that same faithful God has done even more for us. We've been brought into a new inheritance through the crucified and risen Christ. Some of us might have spent years in the wilderness away from God. We may have done things that we're ashamed of. We may have been on that broad road that leads directly to hell. All of us were once outside of God's family, but in his grace and mercy, he's adopted us into his family. Beloved, anyone who repents and accepts Jesus as Savior has become a new creation. All those who accept Jesus as Lord of their life are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Surely then we can add to that psalm, "Give thanks to him who raised Jesus from the dead. Give thanks to him who created a new people in Christ Jesus. Give thanks to him who adopted us into his royal family. Give thanks to him who made us co-heirs with Christ. Give thanks to him who has clothed us with a coat of righteousness." The God of gods and the Lord of lords wasn't only faithful to the people of the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's still the same God. He still remains faithful to his promises. He's still good. He's still overwhelmingly and perfectly good. He provided for his people in their desert wandering, and he still provides for us today in uncountable ways. He continues to answer prayer. He continues to guide us through his revealed will. He continues to be the great shepherd who shepherds his people, not only in this life, but also into the next. He comforted his people in times of need, and he continues to provide comfort. He continues to provide comfort to us today through his Holy Spirit. So we can add to the psalm three more lines. "Give thanks to him who is our shepherd in this life and the next. Give thanks to him who sent his Holy Spirit as our comforter. Give thanks to him who has given us riches, his riches, in Christ Jesus." Brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, we've experienced the Lord's goodness in so many more ways than the ancient Israelites. For we know that he has fulfilled his promises of sending the Messiah. We know that because he sent his Son to be an atonement for our sins, we who have accepted Jesus as Savior, as Redeemer and Lord, have been made part of God's family. It means that the same God who in his mighty power raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. It means that the same God who has created everything in the universe has also made your heart to live again. If that's the case, how can we remain silent? Rejoicing has to be the response. Joyful thanksgiving for what the Lord has done in your life and in mine. joyful thanksgiving in the way we live our lives, joyful thanksgiving in how we treat others, joyful thanksgiving in how we speak to one another or about one another, and most of all, joyful thanksgiving in how we serve our mighty, awesome Lord, our God. Beloved, surely we can exclaim with the psalmist, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And we can all respond with, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let's pray. Almighty and loving God and Father, thank you for your amazing, overwhelming and never-ending love. Thank you that we can rest in knowing that you are good and that your goodness is so much greater and so much more encompassing than we can ever imagine. Your word calls us to respond to this love and goodness, Lord, and we do want to rejoice with heart and soul and mind. But we confess that we don't always do so, because we are so very often too focused on the things of this world. So we pray, Father, stir again within us that wonderful love that we felt when you first placed faith in our hearts. Bring that love to its full power, Father, so that we may praise and glorify you with our lives, with our thoughts, and with our words. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Redeemer, our Saviour, and our Lord. Amen.